Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And want to welcome you to another episode of Hashtag My Investing Story. Ione McNeil and I would like to welcome you as we bring to you another special guest. And our special guest tonight is none other than Ms. Jennifer Felton. But let's tell you a little bit about this phenomenal organization called Better Investing. Better Investing was established in 1951 by the National Association of Investors, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And this organization has helped over 5 million individual investors learn how to invest and become better investors from all walks of life. And as we improve our financial future utilizing the better investing tools, we want to ensure and assure you that we are only volunteers. We're not financial planners. We're not stockbrokers. We're none of those things. We're just volunteers coming to bring you hashtag my investing stories from individuals who are willing to come on and share their stories. So tonight, our friend Jennifer Felton has decided and agreed that she would be willing to share her story tonight. And so Jennifer is an author, and she is a renowned master trainer impacting thousands of educators throughout Southeastern United States. And what I'd like to share about Jennifer also is that she's also a proud graduate of my alma mater, which is Florida Memorial University in Miami. But she's also focused on being a modern day teacher practicing personal accountability. She is a phenomenal presenter, and she's actually an award-winning educator. She's recognized through the southern part of the United States and many school districts and other municipalities for her excellence in education. Her unyielding approach to demanding equitable educational experiences for all students, not just the good ones, and so thank you, Jennifer, for that, because I was one of those. But being a Miami native, a mother, and a self-proclaimed teacher, which is sometimes called a nerd, she is. Jennifer lives between the sunsets of Florida beaches and the hustle and bustle of the city of Atlanta. So on behalf of Ione and myself, welcome to the show, Jennifer, and good evening, Ione. How are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm well. Thank you. Jennifer, my friend. So I've been waiting to interview you to first just say tonight we have a friend on, and we should probably talk about how we became friends, Jennifer. I think it actually started from a Facebook post, you reaching out. Was that a year ago or 2 years ago now?
I think the original reach out was 2 years ago.
Right. You reached out to my mom in help of maybe starting an investment club because you heard about it through Better Investing.
Yeah, so it's been at least 2 years, if not a little longer. I originally reached out to your mom, and she gave me some support. She gave me some resources, and I think I didn't execute at that time, right? And so then I kind of came back around, and I think she probably thought I wasn't super serious. So she was like, I'll have my daughter. She didn't say my daughter. She was just like, I'll have someone call you. And so I was like, okay. And so then me and you wind up speaking, right? And the same thing, I think, you listened to me the first time we called. And again, I was still a little slow acting. And then I looped back around to you again, maybe a couple months later. And you, I was like, I don't know if you remember me, because I was a little nervous, you know, about calling. And you were like, yeah, I remember you. And I was like, well, I need a little help. I was wondering if you can help me. And you helped me. And that has probably been, that was about 11 months ago that happened.
And so the beautiful part, and that's, I mean, I'm just going to give people a heads up that this is going to be a great show, because Jennifer and I have already talked about the fact that we're going to go there. And I'm so grateful to have you, Jennifer Felton, as a guest, because being vulnerable about the process and about timing and about the realities of growth and making decisions is what we're going to talk about tonight. And so thank you for laying out that short but long timeline, because that's the reality of life. And we're still, you know, you and I will get to this, but you and I are still going through that right now, which is you reached out 2 years ago, you know, about wanting to start investing, wanting to start an investment club with some other girlfriends that you had in mind. And that's just the starting point. You know, having an interest is just the starting point. But life happens. And it probably took another year for you to reach back out to say, hey, it's been a year. I did it on my own. It didn't work. I need some help to rethink and talk through this thing. And I think I had caught you in the mall, Atlanta.
Yes.
It's a mall in Atlanta. You know, I called you. I never tell people that I'm going to call in advance. I just happen to catch them. And we were like, you know, and I think in that conversation, you know, I was asking about, like, why do you want to start an investment? I wasn't even in an investment club. So I'm like, why do you want to start an investment club? All that work? Who are you even? Because, you know, I'm quick to throw somebody to the side. Like, girl, they don't want to be in the club. Don't start no club with them. That's damn weight, you know. And so after that, you was like, okay, I'm going to get started. And then, you know, I didn't hear from you. And so it was, I think you're right, maybe 6-8 months later, it was like the end of the year, and you called back, and you was like, I'm ready. I need help opening up this TD Ameritrade account. You know, and so, but that's the part that people don't realize, especially about investment clubs. Not investing, but also investment clubs. As quick as you want to start them, they don't have the asset. And a lot of times it's dependent on the mindset of people, how much this thing is a priority to people, and the availability of people. So talk to us about what you learned in that two-year process of having a desire, but what I'm going to call in the beginning trying to convince other people first instead of doing it yourself.
Oh, man. So in those 2 years, it took about 2 years for us to finally get our agreements in order, get our TD Ameritrade account open. It took a while, right? What I learned was, like, passion is not enough. So, like, I had passion for it. Like, I really, really wanted my friends to come together. I really wanted us to, like, be able to do this. So me saying, let's do this, and then it actually happening took a whole lot more steps than, you know, that I kind of had prepared for. And then in the 2 years, I will give it to my friends. They stayed with me, right? They were like, okay, Jen, you know, we said we're going to do it, let's do it. We said we're going to do it, let's do it. But I realized also that it was my dream and it was my vision. And, you know, I was holding on to maybe too many of the pieces in the beginning. So I was trying to get the TD Ameritrade account open. I was trying to make sure that we had all of our agreements. I was trying to do the My Florida account, all of that. And so then two of the other girls, they kind of pulled me to the side, and then they started doing more things. You know, they were like, we said we're going to do this. Let's help Jen get it done. And then my other friend, she kept encouraging, because I wanted to quit, right? I was like, okay, everybody could just, you know, y'all could get y'all money back, because I didn't want to lose the friendship, right? And I knew it was taking a skill set that I didn't necessarily have. So I had the skill set I had of the passion of sharing a dream, but I didn't have all of the steps to get it done. And so I started to reach out, you know. And then, like, when I originally reached out to your mom, it was because I had the passion. But I don't know if I had the follow-through at that time. And so, you know, whether it was life happening or whatever, I was being lazy, a little bit of both. It took us about 2 years. But then when we got to about 11 months ago when I broke down and called you, I was like, oh, let me call her again. Because the first time I talked to you, yes, I was in the mall, and you seemed like,
I can be a little brash. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you what was the adjective you was going to use?
Yeah, you were a little brash while I was in the mall, and you was like, how you talking about business and you in the mall? And I was just like, I didn't know you was going to call me right, like, I'm in the mall. So I was like, let me just call her again, because you gave me some steps, like in the midst of you being brash, you gave me some steps. You didn't baby me through it. You were like, you need to do this, 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 and this. And I was like, okay. And your mom had did the same thing. She was like, you need to do this, 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 and this. She was like, you need to order this book. I forget the name of the book, something green. But I ordered the book.
In Search for the Green.
Yes, In Search of the Green. I ordered the book. I started reading the book, and then we had a setback. Same thing. You gave me the steps. I started on the steps, and then maybe it was a setback. But when I called you, I guess it would have been the end of November last year or in November sometime.
Beginning of December.
Beginning of December. Our club had made a goal that we would have this done by the new year. And at that point, it had been about 2 years. And the goal was, come January, we would have our investment account, we would be invested, and we would own some stocks. And so when I called you December, I was determined to get that done. So thank you.
So how do I raise my hand? Because, you know, I have to add my 2 cents in here.
Okay, well, let me say this first, then you have it. So I'm just going to say you caught me at a good time, Jennifer, because by the time you called me, we had just started the Better Investing South Florida Chapter Model Club.
Mm-hmm.
So I could only, in the first call, I could only give you so much guidance because I knew of investment clubs, but I was never in one.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you called, I had just gone through that whole process that summer of starting a club, opening up our own club's brokerage account at TD Ameritrade. So by the time you called, it was just perfect timing to get the guidance and the step-by-step and even just tell you that it depends on who you talk to at TD Ameritrade because their processes are not streamlined. You know, it's gonna be a while, so you gotta be gung-ho about it. So, Miss Ann, did you?
Yes. I just wanted to add my 2 cents in here and my 2 cents of these. Now tell the world about Jen. We were on our way when Jen called.
We were on our way to Senegal. Oh, yeah. So we were on our way to Senegal.
Wait, I was on my way and Iona decided to join me. And not only
did she... invitation, but go ahead.
Okay. And then she tells me, oh, by the way, I have invited this lady to come with us. So, being awesome person that I am, I said, okay, no problem. Sight unseen, name unknown. I said, do you know this person? I don't know if somebody you heard from. So listen, world, this is how we do this. This is the spirit of the better investing way. Mm. And I really want to say that because for those who are listening podcasts, real, live, Facebook, whatever it is, I believe that better investing volunteers are some of the kindest, heartwarming people you will ever meet in life. And Howard Johnson, I know you're on here. I'm talking about you too and many other volunteers. I can't really put my finger on it. But what I'm learning after over 25 years of being a better investing volunteer, you do try the spirit by the spirit. And one thing that we do know is that anybody who's willing to serve and volunteer to help others really come with a heart of gold. And so needless to say, we welcome Jen. I don't know if you've seen her face before we got to the airport. We actually ended up meeting. Now the world.
On the plane.
Listen, the world cannot see both of them shaking their heads. They were two total strangers who decided to fly to the other part of the world together with me, of course. I think they were in tow. I was already on my way there. We were spending the holidays, yes, in the midst of COVID, and we were wearing masks and washing our hands and all of that. But I said that because what Jen and I realized after, I don't know if it was 2 days into a 10-day trip or whatever it was, we realized we actually knew each other from Florida Memorial. And I just wanted to share that story because God in life has a way of connecting dots when you have a desire for something that you want to do. And Jen, thankfully, was just persistent and consistent, even though we're sharing her story, and it took time to connect the dots. But what happened on the trip, we ended up connecting dots that had been connecting, what, Jen, for 10 years maybe, something like that at least, from the time you left Florida Memorial?
Oh, I'm not going to pretend to be that young.
19 years, I think.
Almost 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
I actually met Jen as a student. She was a student. And I was a volunteer as a graduate from the university. And I'm saying that because I really want to just thank all the volunteers for listening as you hear Jen's story, because so often we plant the seeds. And thank you, Ann Newman. Thank you, Ann Newman. We plant seeds in the lives of young people, and we never know when and how they will sprout and grow and eventually come back full circle. So, Jen, I just want to give kudos to you and thank you for being persistent. And it did not matter, and it does not matter the time, because when you look at the time value money of a chart of money and really understand, you just continue to do a little bit for a long period of time. And I went and I got this book before we started, for those who can see this book. The title of the book is called, can you read it, Ione? Because I'm upside down here.
From Little Acorns Grow Main Street Millionaires.
From Little Acorns. The time factor has a big part to do with that. And so I'm going to hop off and let Ione continue to interview. But I just wanted to just say that how much we really appreciate your persistence, Jennifer, because you're still on the journey, and it doesn't matter how tough or hard it got and how long and hard the road is and was, the point is that you're still on that journey. All right? Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Ms. Ann, because you raise a really good point, which I want to highlight, which is, you know, Jen, by the time you came back around, not only were you on the path of action for your investment club, but you wanted to go to South Africa. And so you didn't get, you know, the friend and or cousin that you were going to originally go with. But even more than South Africa, you wanted to go to Africa, and we were going to Africa. So yeah, that invitation became easy. And I think, you know, when we think about it, life becomes easier once we make the decision, this is what we want, and we start walking that way, because then you kind of cross paths with people that are either already doing it, already going, or already did it, and they can help you along the way. So
I want to stop you there.
Go ahead.
You said it was easy, like, to make the decision to go, and it wasn't easy. It took me, so to back up, to help everyone understand, I wanted to go to Africa, but I also had committed to getting this investment club up and going by December 31st. And so this was like December 5th. And I reach out to you and I'm like, help, help, help. And literally while I was on the phone with you and you were walking me through the TD Ameritrade thing, I had my Delta Airlines stream open as well. And I was like, I really want to get this done so I could focus on trying to take this trip that I really wanted to take. Like, I really wanted to do something to celebrate myself. But because I'm in education, I was off for 2 weeks, and I know my time isn't quite like everybody else's time. Like, everybody else can't really just take 2 weeks off. And I said that, and you were like, we going to Africa too. You feel free to come with. And I was like, what? You don't know me? And I don't know you, you know? And you were like, oh, it's okay. You could come. And I was like, why is she messing with me like this? And I think, and you were like, you got off the phone and you said, you know, I'm being serious. If you want to come, you can come. It took me about 20 hours to make the decision to purchase the ticket. It was a last-minute ticket, so the flight was probably double what it would have normally cost. And it took me, I'm telling you, Nola, I must have replied to you like the next day, because it took me all day to make the decision. And I had been wanting to make this decision for 2 years, and I couldn't make the decision. I don't think you know that, but I have been really wanting to go. And so when I finally made the decision, this is what you said to me, and this is what has lingered with me. You said, you chose you. Congratulations. You chose you. And I had never really done that before. I bought another ticket this week to Africa, and your words continue to linger with me. You know, you chose you. It was fear that made me slow about executing the investment club. It was fear of the unknown, fear that it would be a failure, fear that made me, you know, scared to kind of join Better Investing with something I had never seen before. It was something that I didn't know, right? And so that moment opened up a door to a different version of me. You know, I was now more willing to take risks. And after I got off the phone with you, you know, I executed. I was able to get the TD Ameritrade stuff going. Now, mind you, like you said, it all depended on who you spoke to at TD Ameritrade, because it still took them about another 8 weeks before the account was actually open. But, you know, we persevered as a club, and that perseverance, the perseverance of creating a club, making it official, opening a TD Ameritrade account, we just paid our dues to Better Investment. That is what excites me, that we did what we said we were going to do. So it wasn't easy. It took a lot of courage.
Hey, no, I'm so glad you corrected me and broke it down, because I know for me, a lot of times in my head, I process it one way, but I'm working on being a lot more cognizant of other people and the effort and the time and the energy it takes for them to do what I may consider easy or second nature. So thank you for breaking it down. Let's stick with this concept of congratulations for choosing yourself. I want to use the rest of our time to go two different ways. You can let me know which way you want to go first, whether it's your personal story and how your perspective and attitude about money has changed from coming from Miami and having a sister with a different kind of money attitude, like a go-get-it money attitude. And then I also want to hear about how the investment club is going, because I have some questions to ask about that. So which one you think you want to explore first?
I mean, we can talk about, you know, how I've changed with money. I mean, because the investment club, we're coming along, like we choo-chooing along, like the choo-choo train, right? So I'm ready. I'm listening. What you got for me?
So take us back to growing up in Miami and through what you observed, you know, what you witnessed about money. Was it something that you only went to go work for? Was there anybody investing in stocks and bonds and mutual funds, even talking about retirement accounts? Were there talks about real estate? Did you come from a place where, you know, in financial security was getting married?
So, you know, without saying how old I am, like I grew up 1980s Miami, you know? So Miami Vice, that is the Miami I grew up in, you know? And so I don't remember conversations about money. Like, I remember conversations about work. I remember conversations about getting a job, getting a good job. You know, in Miami, getting a good job means you work for the county. That's a good job in South Florida. And that seemed to be like a lot of people's aspiration, you know, get you a job with the county, get your pension. And then that was pretty much it. You know, I don't remember anyone talking about investing, and to be honest, it was a scary thing to hear about investing. I remember when, like Marshall put in the chat, I remember I used to be in deep at Florida Memorial, and I remember your mom like hosting, Ann hosting like a class or something in the Lehman Building. And I remember going, but it felt beyond me. Like I at the time, it was what I would say foreign, right? And so when I think about foreign concepts, because I'm from Miami, if it was money being earned outside of work, it felt like a scam. I'm sorry, that was just somebody say, oh, you know, you could get 10% back or 20% back, invest your money with me. Nah, that's a scam. Nope, scam. It could be something true. But, you know, if I couldn't see how the money came about or manipulated or you know, was it money in exchange for work, then it felt like a scam. And so outside of that, like, that would be the beginning of my money journey. I was raised primarily by my grandmother. And so, you know, she was retired. She was a retired woman. And so for me, it was get a good job so that you can have enough money in retirement. But what that meant was get a good pension. And that was pretty much the end of that for me.
Two things I'm so glad you two. One is a lot of times we, people that know investing, been around investing, know how to invest, know how to ask the right questions, we don't realize that a lot of other people that don't know this information don't just not know it, but are skeptical about it. Because it's like, how do you separate fact from fiction? How do you separate somebody being good-willed, volunteering, wanting to invest in you without asking for anything back? In certain communities, that's a setup to get got. You know, I mean, nobody does that. And so thank you for shedding the light on that, because I think especially for us that have been around Better Investing for a long time, and we do what's called a little bit of outreach, and the person doesn't respond immediately, you know, it's like, well, throw up your hands, or they just don't get it, and you move on to the next, and you don't realize that there's really just so many barriers you can't see, mental barriers. There's a vision that was not conveyed. You know, you're introducing what you call foreign concepts and ideas that has never even crossed this person's mind. Like the idea that your money could work for you and you don't have to go work for your money and it's legal and you're not scamming nobody. You know what I mean? It's just like, sometimes based on your experience and what you're exposed to, you're either going to work, making money, or you're taking advantage of someone. Like I'm watching the Wu-Tang Clan story on Hulu, and, you know, the mother's sister comes in town, does this whole scam, skips town, and that bill falls back on the mother. And, you know, almost a year later or so, the daughter of the mother runs into her aunt, and nobody knew she was in town, you know, but we all know why they knew. You know, I mean, you just, either you're working or you're scamming, like, you know, there is no in between, there is no other option, you know. And so, yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because, again, I think, too, we underestimate the time it takes to turn it around. And the other thing I like that you mentioned was the explicit and the observed lessons of go to work, get a good job so that you could get a good pension. But nobody ever says what a good pension is. And, you know, to get that guiding lesson from your parents, especially those that are in the field of education, or for those that their parents or grandparents work for the county or work for the government, it's like, just do this thing. Just go to work. Don't miss any days. Don't call out sick. Get that pension. But the part that's not talked about is over the span of 20, 40 years, the world of having a pension has changed. So there's no conversation about what is a good pension, you know, what is a good retirement. There's no conversation about how much money do I really need. You just go through the motions of going to work until you are ready to retire, and you're waiting for somebody to hand you the portfolio or the envelope to say, hey, you know, you gave us 30, 35, 40 years. This is how much you are to have in the end. Talk to us about what changed.
Assumption.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said, like, you know, when volunteers or, you know, you guys do reach out and you, you know, you try, but the person may not be receptive. I think what you may not realize at the time, because, you know, this is, you're doing this constantly, is that you're planting seeds, right? And so for me, going back in time, seeds were planted, like I said, I remember when Ann was doing those things in the Lehman. And then I remember, so it took maybe about 10 years of seed planting with me before I realized, okay, I need to take control. So you just said you wait and you get this envelope at the end, right? Or you get your walking papers, they pat you on the back and they say you've done a good job. About maybe 7 or 8 years into my teaching career, that went away for most teachers. Like, that was not being immediately offered. So, and then you started to have, I started to see, so when I first started my teaching journey, I signed up for the investment plan. And I didn't sign up for the pension plan because I didn't really know. But investment plan sounded more savvy. And so I signed up for it, but I did nothing with it. It wasn't until I had been working for about 10 years, and then I met with another person, and we were talking about my retirement and talking about everything. And he said to me, he said, well, you've been in education for 10 years now. It would have been better for you to be in pension because I had not done any, basically, I signed up for the investment plan but did nothing with it. And so we broke down the numbers, and he was like, if you're going to retire, you know, in the education field, you need to take some action. And so I attempted to buy back into the pension plan. And I called them, and they told me, well, Ms. Felton, you need to send us a check for $20,000 if you want to buy back into the plan. That was a wake-up call for me that I had not been in control of my affairs. I had not been in control of my finances. I would get the notifications and then just throw them in the drawer. I was not in control. And I realized, man, I need to do something because I don't know what to do, and I'm not doing anything. And so that's kind of where my journey began. But those seeds have been planted over the years. It just took a very long time for them to start to blossom.
And that, again, that's why I'm so glad you said yes to be a guest on the show, because I mean, this is the part that we want to be honest about, you know. And so thank you again for sharing your story and walking us through what you didn't know and the decisions you made when you didn't know. And even as you tried to do better and do more, it just still took time. And I hope that people that are listening, as you make these decisions and it takes time, I hope you are extending yourself grace and patience and feeling encouraged, doing a little bit, just doing a little bit, showing up to my investment story, listening, reading a BIAC article, even if you haven't invested yet, just the doing of something to be exposed to the information, to continue to water the seeds that have been planted. You know, it takes time. It does not happen overnight. So talk to us about that crucial moment being the wake-up call for you and what you decided to do after. And I don't know if you want to share if you were divorced before that point, if you got divorced after that point, and then the money and financial lessons that came through that divorce.
So it still took time, right? But I was, like, finally starting to wake up. And it's like I tell people, sometimes we're on such a hamster wheel of life that you don't realize that you're just repeating the same things over and over and over and over again. And so you literally have to break the hamster wheel and put it back together in a different way, because if you don't, you're going to keep repeating the same thing. So you know, during this time, I get divorced. And once I got divorced, I sold my house. And I called myself taking a mini retirement. I don't know what I was thinking, like I had that much money. But sold my house, and for the first time in my life, I had a chunk of money, right?
That's the reality of it. That's the reality of it. For the first time in your life, you had that much money.
Where I wasn't worried about living paycheck to paycheck, right? You know, just enough money to do the basic necessities. I can go out to eat and not worrying about my debit card being declined. Now, mind you, I'm a professional educator with master's degrees, and I'm still worried about, you know, money. And so I moved to Sarasota, Florida. I needed to get away from the hustle and bustle. So I moved to the retirement coast, which they affectionately call Sarasota God's waiting room. Okay. It is affectionately referred as God's waiting room. And I loved living in Sarasota. It was much lower pace, but most of my friends in Sarasota were retirees, people who had retired, people who were 20, 30 years older than me, right? They took me in, we were friends, and they nurtured me. But one of the things that happened was I went to the women's organization in Sarasota, and the seeds were there, remember, but I'm still not fully blossomed. So I go to the women's organization in Sarasota, and it was one minute to help women get back on their feet after divorce, after different things. And it was like, it was centered. It was like, now that you're divorced, what are you going to do with your money? It was something, it was a session like that. And I was like, well, maybe I need to go to this session. So they were like, bring all of your financials or whatever. So again, the Miami in me was like, let me see if this is a scam or not. But I went, right? So I went, I didn't bring any of my financial information or anything like that. And it started off as a round table of women, you know, who are out of just like their relationship had ended and they needed like help with next steps. And so I sit there amongst all of these women from every walk of life and I'm just listening. So they had a lady who was presenting, and again, she was also planting seeds. But at this point, I hadn't had enough seeds planted, and so I needed to do something. And so that little bit of money that I had that I thought I was going to retire with for like a year was like almost done in 6 months. I was like, oh, my goodness, I need to go back to work. And so when I went to her, I made an appointment to see her again. I still got the scam culture in my mind, but I took a leap of faith and I made an appointment to see her. And this is when it all kind of intersected and I woke up. She looked at all of my retirement accounts and I had been working again for the school board all of these years, but my account was not growing. And so she sat down, she explained some things to me, and we called this lady, and again, I don't know her. I just met her at the women's place, right? Then I go to her office. She called the Florida Retirement System with me on the phone. And we sat there in her office, and she reallocated all of my accounts. Within 8 months or less, my account had grown by about $15,000. And I had almost cried because I was not taking control over my life. But I realized in that moment that it was not a scam, that you have to maximize your money and that you cannot not do anything. So my safe place was to not do nothing. See, it feels safe when you don't do anything because you can't mess up if you didn't do anything, right? And she like whipped me into shape. She was like, you're still young. Why are you acting like you're down and out? And And from there, we opened up another account where I had to, you know, save, and I had to commit to sending, it wasn't $50 a month, to another account. And she was like, we're going to set this other account up for your spending money or for your growth, but this is your retirement money, and this is, you know, and so, and she kept up with me. And as she kept up with me, she didn't have to, because when she managed my retirement account, that was FRS. She got nothing for doing that. But she kept up with me, and she stayed involved. And once I started monitoring and paying attention, the seeds began to come together. And I took an extra job because, remember, I was running out of money, right? So I done ran out of retirement money. I'm not working. I'm like, I'm living free on the beach. So I got a job at Home Depot, and this was the catalyst. I got a job at Home Depot, and I had started tutoring at the local school. And so I left the tutoring job, and then I went to Home Depot. And I went to Home Depot, and I was working in the paint department. And I don't know why I thought that was just the sexiest job, to work in the paint department. But that was some hard work, okay? And it was one night I was getting – I promise you, this event changed my life, because I'm still moving slow at this point. So I'm working at Home Depot, and remember, Sarasota, Florida was like retirement capital of the world. So I'm – now, mind you, I'm like one of the younger people who are working at Home Depot. So it was me and this lady in the paint department, and she had just turned like 82, something like 80, something. And it was the night shift, so, you know, once you're done making paint and feeling cool, you got to clean up and put things on the top shelf, and you have to do all of this. And I knew that the manager was really watching this older lady. And he told us we had to put the paint up on the shelves. We had to do all of this. We had to break down the boxes, put them in the bag. It was about 9 o'clock or so at night, and this lady let out a sigh, and you could hear that sigh all the way to the front of the store. And she was like, "Whew, I just had my 82nd birthday or something." And she was like, "I don't need to be doing this. I'm not putting up no boxes." And she was just like, "I'm tired." So the man was like, "Y'all got to put those boxes up." So mind you, I'm tired too, but I'm younger than her. So I do all of my shutdown, and I do hers too, right? Because the way she was leaning up against that counter, I knew she didn't have it in her. And I also knew she needed this job, because she said she needed this job, and she really needed this job. And that's what she just kept saying. And I was working part-time. She was working full-time. And so she really needed this job. She just kept saying she really needed this job. She really needed this job. So I break down all the boxes. I put up the paint. I do everything. I told her, whatever, Miss May, whatever, ma'am, I got it. I'll do it. I took care of it for you. If it was me and I was in my 80s, I would want somebody to do it for me. If it was my grandma, I would want somebody to do it for her. But at that moment, I decided to take control of my investment and my financial future, because I did not want to be 82 packing boxes at Home Depot, not really wanting to be there, but having to be there. And that's when I got online. I started reading investment books. I read an investment book. It said, why don't you start an investment club with your friends so it's not so scary? I started Googling investment clubs. Better Investing came up. I called my friends. I was literally living in Sarasota. I called my friends. I was like, let's meet for lunch. We met for lunch. I gave them what I wanted to do, and they said, okay. Now, we started with more than we ended with. We had a little bumpy stuff. You know, we had some bumpiness, some disagreements as far as the direction. But the truth was, when we first started, I didn't have a direction, I only had passion. But that's where the passion came from. When I saw that whole Home Depot thing, I was like, No. I got to stop pretending I'm blind and take control, and I'm going to do it scared. But the book said do it with friends, so it's not as scary, and that's how I got here. So I know I just said a whole lot, but.
No, this is perfect, because one other thing I want you to bring out, this is my first time hearing about the Home Depot story, but talk to us also about the two different type of retirees you experienced while in Sarasota, and how that also helped inform you of what more you should be doing now so that you're not just getting by. You can have a little grace and space when you retire.
Yeah, so when I was in Sarasota, you know, remember I call myself being a fake retiree. And so I started working also at the insurance company. So when you work at an insurance agent's office, you know, you meet a lot of different people. And what I met and what I was able to see was the different types of retired life. You had some people who, as they would say, retired well. They retired really well. You know, they can be on the beach all day without a care. They could, you know, you had some people who retired and they had their pension, and their pension was enough. It was sufficient. You had people who retired and they had like a mixed method. You know, they had pension, but they also had investment. And those were the ones who would talk to me quite a bit about, you know, what I need to do. Jennifer, you know, you need to look at doing this. Jennifer, you need to look at doing that. And then you have people who did not retire well at all. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And you can see all of these people in one location. And so for me, being amongst them and them talking to me about what I need to be doing, you know, all of the layers of seeds and information over time kind of formed, and I was able to finally do something, because I could see people who looked like me, who did not look like me, but I could see people, and they were talking to me about it. And so they would tell me, Jennifer, you know, yeah, I was once in a club. You should try that. Or Jennifer, yeah, me and my friends got together, and we bought a little property. You should try that. I know it's scary, but, you know, they would say these things to me. And then it would be what really, like, because it is a huge retirement market, you have a lot of advertisements on the radio, too. And there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of people on NPR talking about taking control over your financial future. Like, I could not escape it. And I had not taken control over my financial future. I had turned that over to the mysterious person. I don't know who it was, but I had no control. And so I did not want that future for me and my friends. I wanted us all to learn together. And I knew that I was not, because I mentored a lot of teachers. I mentored a lot of young teachers. And I knew we never talked about this. I knew when they were hired, they were presented with two choices, investment or pension. And nobody explained it. You sat in a big auditorium, and they're just like, you can pick this or you can pick this. And you basically sign your retirement future away. And I thought that was so unfair. You know, it was so unfair that they never took the time to explain what they are asking of us. And I was a little angry by that once I realized everything and how to make things work. And so that's kind of how I've gotten here with the club and just trying to learn more. Like, that's my goal. I don't know a lot, but I'm going to learn. And that's kind of where I'm at with it now.
Well, I thank you again for sharing those insights, stories, and allowing us to walk through your journey. Because I do want to take it to this point of you being in an investment club, and you're one of the few people I know in an investment club that really allows Better Investing to support you. And what I mean by that is you have your meeting, but you come to the Better Investing Model Club meeting and listen in and learn. And, you know, you all as a club participate in Better Investing educational classes and workshops. Talk to us about, it's what, almost been 6 months or a year of you doing that. Talk to us about that process and how much that has helped you all grow together instead of feeling the burden of as the leader and the founder of the club to teach everybody else.
I think I had to acknowledge and just say to my friends, like, hey, I don't know what we're doing, but I could get us started. Like, that's me. I can start the foundation. I could get us organized, but we need to listen in. Let's listen in to some other clubs. And sometimes it's hard listening to other clubs because it's not about you. You know, it's easy to talk about things when it's about you and your benefit. But what I have to, like, sometimes remind us is we're in a learning phase, and let's be okay to be in a learning phase. The other thing, like, that I liked about listening to your group and listening to other groups is, because none of us have ever done this before, we pick up on new themes each meeting. So each meeting that we listen to or that we listen into a different club, we learn something to add to our club. Like, we were not talking about the market. We weren't talking about, like, what's going on in the world that impacts the market. And so we were listening to the Model Club meeting, and that was one of the segments. So in turn, we added it to our segment. And we're just kind of learning as we go, you know. And I just have to keep reminding myself and the club, we're learning. But at least we have organized, and I know in the beginning it was a lot of fear, because I could sense it. I was feeling the fear. Nobody wanted to make a mistake. Nobody wanted for us to mess up. But it's okay. You know, that's why we're here together, to learn together. And so watching other clubs helps you say, okay, I think we can do this. You know, if you never watch another club, it feels very hard. I don't know how people did it without watching other clubs, because for us and for me, we'll watch you guys, we'll watch the Model Club, and then we'll come back and we'll try to emulate. And it forces us to be better.
Well, you know, I think you raised a really good point that, and I'm so glad that, and I think only in this conversation could this come out, which is, again, we take for granted the knowledge base, experience, and prior exposure of the people in the club.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about who started investment clubs, it was people who already valued investing.
Mm-hmm.
And as individuals, they were already bringing something to the table. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, anybody can play basketball, but it's the people on your team that's going to determine how good the team is.
Right.
You know, you outside playing on the court, or you in the NBA, it's the same five people, but the quality of each individual player
mm-hmm.
is determining how good the team is.
Right.
And that's the part that I don't think we either have stated, but it's like, what about the people that are just learning how to dribble and learning how to not double dribble and learning how to not carry? You know, like, what are they going to do? Yeah, you could start a club, but everybody playing on the kiddie court, you know? So that's why I love your club and the fact that you're having your meetings, you're together as a group. but you are immersing yourself in the larger, better investing organization so that you can all level up. Because I know some clubs that they heard about Investment Club, they heard they need to start one, they go start one, and they're not doing any research. They just buy what they hear. And unfortunately, when you do that, end up not being able to understand what a good company or a good investment is. You end up being too heavily weighted into consumer cyclical stocks because you're only thinking about you as a consumer. You know, you're not thinking about the rest of the market and being balanced in terms of sectors and industry diversity. You know what I mean? So, your club so far, being a young club about to be a year old, in terms of paper-wise, y'all like 3 years old in terms of effort.
We are. But, you know, and I'm glad you said that because, again, coming from a background of save every penny, don't pay for things that you don't have to, it was I had to make a decision as the leader of the club that we will register with Better Investment. We will get the magazine. We will have active accounts because we don't know what we're doing. And so I wanted our club to be education first. We will learn what to do. So whatever we do here, you can apply it to your own account, your own life. But this club will be centered around education. And that was dear to me because to register all of us there, you know, one of the members was like, that's going to cost us like X amount of money. I'm like, what are we doing if we don't learn how to do this right? So it's worth the investment. And that's where we are. Mm. We just paid. So we are just now official.
Excellent. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Miss Ann?
Yes, this is exciting. So we want to make sure that we say thank you so much also to Ann Newman and so many of you that's in the chat, lighting the chat up. And so we want to just acknowledge that we do see you, Howard, Johnson. No, get in trouble every time I start calling people's name, but I'm going to call your name. Ms. LaBelle. Lala, I think you know who I'm talking about. Anita, thank you so much. And I understand, and Mommy, please don't do that. Michelle, Marshall, Doretha, everybody. But these are my notes. These are my notes. So let me start with Jen. You are encouraging me because I thought that we were bad when we started our second club. We started with 50 people. And that was 4 years ago. Ask me how many people in our club today.
How many?
Take a guess. Wait, before you guess, let everybody put it in the chat. Let those who are in the Zoom, can you put in the chat how many in the club today? So, Jen, you just know you're in good company and you're right where you should be. One of the things that you said that I thought was so amazing, you said, you know, and I took this to heart, because you were talking about me actually planting seeds. But you said, you know, planting seeds took time for them to blossom. And that was very encouraging to me. And I think Ione and all of the volunteers who are listening from Better Investing, because so often we go and we volunteer in person and or on Zoom. And we share and we share, we plant these seeds. And one of the reasons why what you said is so powerful is that it reminds me of what my other favorite book where 10 lepers were healed, but only one came back and said, you know, something, if you will. And just to hear you talk about the fact that that was 20 years ago, seeds that I planted, and now here we are full circle. And so I would just want to acknowledge that in support of all the other volunteers who will hear this podcast. But the other point you made about go to school, and I remember clearly my parents telling me way before you were even born, look, Ann, go to school, get a good education, and get a good
down corporate jobs, not just jobs, because we were already working in the fields for some of us that's old enough to remember those days. But no, get a good corporate job. And so that was the mindset back in the day. And we didn't know anything about investing. So to have the Better Investing Volunteers, better known as NAIC, and that's why I brought this book out. And thank you, Ayoni. But from Little Acorns Grow Main Street Millionaires. And when you think about the fact that Better Investing has created many, many, many millionaires all over the world from volunteers learning how to analyze stocks and how to invest and still doing it today. Another item that you talked about was you talked about how the people in Sarasota taught you. And as you were thinking about talking about that, I thought about how when Ayoni and I started in NAIC, many of the volunteers back in the day did the same thing with us. They set us down and shared and poured into us from day one. And on an annual basis, we would take a group of kids to the World Money Show, to the NAIC conference and things like that. And I'm talking about first, second, third, fourth, fifth graders. And Ayoni was one of those. But to watch the volunteers who were in their 70s, 80s, and older sit down and say, wow, when you know, I wish I'd started when I was your age. And see, this is what people saw in you. You're still young enough to where they're looking at you, and it costs them nothing to share. And they're saying to you, you know what? You can do this. And it costs them absolutely nothing to pour into you. And I think that that is so reciprocating because what it is teaching all of us is to continue to give. And at the end of the day, when your basic needs are met, and, you know, you know like Maslow's hierarchy, it's about the spirit of service. And so I just wanted to just share that. And, again, I cannot thank enough the volunteers who give and give and give. But one of the reasons, main reasons that this hashtag, My Investing Story, was created is because of many other things that you've shared on here today, and that is planting seeds. And those seeds can be considered as acorn, and we do know a mustard seed, an acorn seed, and what it grows into. And so I just want to remind our listeners that are calling in or listening in, for those of you that came on a little late, we are talking with Jennifer Felton, and she's sharing her hashtag My Investing Story. She's a proud graduate of my alma mater, Florida Memorial University, and she's a phenomenal, phenomenal person, an educator, an author. But equally as important, she was brave enough with some friends to start the Ladies Building Wealth Investment Club. And so, Jennifer, we want to just say again, thank you so very much for being willing to share, and I'll turn it back over to Ayoni.
Thank you. Just to wrap up, I have, I think, two questions. One is, what do you feel like you need to continue to be supported as you continue on your investing journey? Because I'm, as a volunteer, I like to ask, especially new people, this question because everybody learns differently. And I think sometimes we can take for granted, you know, oh, well, we got a video learning library on Better Investing. We have a magazine. But some people need a coach, a mentor, a personal friend, an accountability partner. You know, some people need different things. Some people need access to just audio to listen while they walk or work out. So talk to us about, as you're continuing your investment journey, what kind of things do you need and are you planning to continue so that you can continue to learn in the form that that's best for you?
So for me, it's, I would say two things. One, even when I'm tired or it's the end of the day or something, listening to My Investment Story really helps me because it's real people. Like reading the magazines and listening to the audio tapes, I can't do that until I've actually listened to a real person and I hear the journey of a real person and I can connect to the real person, if that makes sense. So So if I'm hearing somebody that you have on My Investment Story or somebody is sharing their real life story, then I can take that and then I can go and read the book. Then I can go and listen to the audio tape or watch the video or the tutorial. Because for me, the same way it was with writing the book, you know, I suffered from that imposter syndrome where I had been groomed to get a good corporate job. And for me, I was groomed to get a good job. So to be anything outside of that felt weird. But when I can see young Black women or young Black men or women or people from my community actually telling their story, then I'm like, okay, that's enough for me to muster up enough courage. Like, that gives me the courage to try to say that I'm capable and that I have the ability. So that and what works for me is community. So even though when I took that leap of faith and I paid for that super expensive trip to Africa last year, I felt like listening to Ann and you, that investment paid itself back 100 times. And it was such a learning. So being amongst people who are doing it, who walk the walk. So, you know, when you guys do social events, that helps people like me because I can connect to the person, then I can connect to the learning because it's real. If I don't see the person, it's like you spoke earlier, that's a barrier that I have. It's not something you've done. It's just a barrier that has been instilled in me that I need a little bit of a time to take down. So I know you said you had another question. So
no, I appreciate that breakdown because, you know, that's one of the main reasons we started the show. It was because we know that Better Investing has a wealth of knowledge and resources, but it tends to be on the quantitative side. And for a lot of people to really even get to Better Investing, we realized that we needed to take a qualitative person-to-person approach. And so I'm glad, you know, again, it was a theory. My mom is better with people than I am, so she'd be knowing. I'm like, okay, let's do this. But to hear you say it the way you said it, it really also just encourages us that our intentions are well received and we are making an impact because, again, I think of it like being in school. A lot of students miss out because they're only being taught one way. You know, everybody's not auditory learners. Some are kinesthetic. Some are visual.
Once you start that school talk, you got me. Once you know, I'm like, there's so many ways to learn.
Yeah, and that's what we're really trying to provide, just another way for adults, specifically who are left out, who know they need to do it, but don't know anybody around them that's doing it. And they are continually on their own island trying to get to, you know, the mainland, the wealth of resources, but they can't see a bridge. They don't have a boat. It's just, like you said, it's too much of a stretch, you know. So my last question is, what's next for you, at least even in terms of your plans, your own financial goals and vision? Because again, you're just starting, you're slow walking this thing, but what's next for you? Even if it's not immediate future, what are you planning, even in the long future, either way?
So, man, that's a great question. It's a lot of things that have changed for me once I decided to like step out on fear a little bit, you know, Once I started like looking at my investing, looking at my financial setup, I realized this. that I was a little lazy. And it wasn't that I was intentionally lazy. I'd never really extended myself into those foreign areas, right? So I was very limited. I lived in my bubble. And so once I got brave enough to open up the envelope and start, you know, saying, Jennifer, you need to take action, for me, another thing was to learn how money works, first and foremost, and also learn that I am deserving of money. Like, so I don't have to live this humble, meager lifestyle. There's no honor in that. And sometimes, I don't know, subconsciously, subliminally, we're taught, you know, that you got enough. But I'm now kind of focusing on not just investing, but making more money. You know, like I should be making more than this. I should not be worried about whether or not my debit card is going to go through. I put in the work, you know, I have the intelligence. So where am I headed? I'm going to stop, or I've stopped hiding, because I tend to do this thing where I hide, and I do this thing where I don't take up space. I do this thing where, you know, if you don't ask me, I don't say anything, even though I have all of these opinions. So now what's headed next is continuing to learn about investing, taking more risks with my money, because once I kind of turned on the light bulb, I started asking to be paid more money. Like, hold on, this doesn't match. But I never knew it didn't match. So once I started asking for more money on my job, or just demanding more from myself, I want to invest more. And it's not like I want to learn other ways to invest. And it started with investing in me. So investing in myself, being willing to pay for classes and not thinking it's a scam. You know, like I, this was amazing. I actually registered for the conference. That's the first time I did that, like spent that kind of money to register for my own education program outside of college, right? And it's so good because I was investing in myself, investing in learning and growing. So where this is going to take me, I don't know, but I'm willing to go for the ride.
I'm excited for where you are right now. I'm excited for where you're going. And Jen, honestly, I'm just so grateful that you were willing, again, to be a guest on the show and be open and transparent enough to really share what it's like to not even have the awareness and the time it takes to have your mind be opened up over time.
Yeah.
And then also be willing to share the time it takes to continue to keep making the decision, because it's not just one time, one decision, and your whole world changes. It's every day. It's a not today, not this mom. I'm going to come back. You know, and I just, again, appreciate you for being so real. And it's also why I love you talk about planting seeds. I have this theory where I work so hard to get people early, not young, just early, because the earlier I can get to you, I'm already counting that it's going to take 10 or 15 years for you to get it. So if I hurry up and get to you, your 10 and 15 year clock will start.
That's good. It took 10 to 15 years. And, you know, I didn't know it, but it did. And wow, it wasn't until you just said that about starting not young, but early. You know, it took so many years for me to deconstruct whatever barriers I had already put up, right? But so you got to deconstruct the barriers that I have and then plant the seed. But if you don't give me so much, I mean, I had 20 years of barriers, 25 years of barriers that I had been putting up. But if you catch me earlier, that seed may land on fertile ground a lot earlier without as many, because I had a lot of barriers. I mean, I did. But I'm glad that, you know, people plant a seed. I'm still tearing down barriers, still tearing them down. But
yeah.
I'm glad people plant a seed. So keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Well, thank you, because, I mean, this really is a labor of love. And, you know, as we grow, you grow. As you grow, we grow. And, you know, a community is made up of individual people. And we're just, I know I'm grateful and thankful to be able to call you a friend, but it did start with you calling us and
yes.
asking the question and asking for help. And again, we're so happy to have you in the Better Investing community, in the Better Investing family, as our last guest said, Team Better Investing, because we are diverse and we're made up of not just racial, ethnic diversity, but diversity of mindset and experiences. And that's the part of outreach that we're focusing on, those that have no concept of investing, period. Period, because it's usually they usually fall in the more diverse category, because all they know is, and all we've been taught is to work for money. So again, Jen, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your story, for being vulnerable, because I'm sure a lot of people, I know I enjoyed tonight, but I know a lot of people will, you know, learn from and enjoy and be encouraged by your story.
Well, I hope it benefits somebody. I mean, you know, I could talk for days, but thank y'all for having me on.
Definitely.
All right, we want to go ahead and wrap up. I want to encourage our listeners, if you would like to be a part of this show, Ione, they can reach out to the email address at abetterinvesting@yahoo.com if you're in, no?
At Gmail.
I'm sorry. abetterinvesting@gmail.com. Can you put that in the chat? And I say that because Jen was in the audience and she listened in, like many of you are listening in, and eventually she decided to become a guest on the show. And so we want to encourage all of you, if you would like to share your hashtag, My Investing Story, we want you to know that this platform is here for you. So until next week, we want to thank everybody for joining us. You have been listening to Ms. Jennifer Felton share her hashtag, My Investing Story. And want to thank our co-host, Ione McNeil. And, of course, I am, yes. Yes, I I am Ann McNeil, the master builder, and we will see you next week, same time, same place, here on the hashtag My Investing Story. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye.